Today, I want us to think about a faraway place called Syria. The Bible introduces us to a military captain of a good reputation. Naaman is his name. And here is the beginning of his captivating story as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5, the first three verses. There we read, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' Most nations, great and small, are proud of their military heritage. Markers and monuments have been set up for the memory of those who have achieved greatness, and many biographies have been written. More often, the praise comes long after the hero is gone, passed away, but it appeared that Naaman was an exception to this rule. While still in active service, he was showered with praise. He had obtained the royal favor. The king had very graciously elevated his name to the rank befitting his achievements. He had the distinction of having saved his nation when it was in distress and danger of being overcome. His strength of mind and sturdiness of will enabled him to face danger courageously, by reason of which he attained recognition as a mighty man of valor." Seldom do we find a more impressive statement than this brief, meaningful passage. Yet, like all true stories of mankind, there was one danger that stood as a real threat to the health, happiness, and life of this great man. As the story begins, it seems that the inspired writer intends merely to recount his virtues, but very early he reverses his course and gives more space to the description of his battle against his disease. There are some things that cannot be had for money and that cannot be obtained by influence. One of them is health, another is the freedom from the ravages of sin. Regardless of the great accomplishments of Naaman, irrespective of how dearly he was loved by his family or how ardent the admiration of his friends, he was a leper. But more is contained in these few words than we can comprehend unless we know something of this terrible disease. It meant but one thing: unless a cure could be had, he was doomed to a horrible and untimely death. As we read, we're impressed with the greatness of the man. Then all too suddenly, the shocking truth is revealed, and it counteracts every mark of his distinction. Naaman was captain of the host. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. He had brought deliverance to his country. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. It is of utmost importance that we understand something about leprosy, inasmuch as in the Bible it is presented as a symbol or type of sin. In order, therefore, that we better understand that which will destroy the soul, we shall recount some of the characteristics of this disease of the body. Like many agencies which might be said to represent the forces of the devil, leprosy makes its attack in a rather subtle manner. Its first symptoms may be recognized in small spots which appear either in the palm of the hands or on the forehead. There are allegedly two types of this disease. The average life of the victim in one case is 9 years, while in the other it is about 18 years. This may account for the fact that Naaman retained his position even after he became affected. The progress and spread of the disease is remarkably slow. At first, there's little discomfort, but at the end of the life of the person affected, it is a horrible experience. As time passes, the small white spots begin to spread over a sizable portion of the body. The flesh gradually decays and falls away until the bones of the fingers are laid bare. If the affected area is about the face, it is quite possible that the flesh will be eaten away until the teeth literally fall out and the jawbone becomes uncoupled. It is little wonder that the unhappy victim should cover his horrid face and, bowing at a respectful distance, cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Confined to a leper colony until death is received as a welcome visitor, the disease is incurable by man. However, medical science and students of disease control have discovered that cleanliness is its strongest enemy and the most effective preventative. Leprosy is contagious. Carelessness and continued association with the infected may result disastrously. It is my hope that we shudder at this description, as only with such an impression we will appreciate the Bible doctrine of what leprosy will do to the body is the same as what sin will do to the soul. Maybe this picture will cause us to see sin differently. Unless we, the affected one, are able to recognize the danger, we will be in a poor position to combat the evil and destruction that will follow. In order to further the comparison, let us observe that as one can associate with lepers without contacting the disease, so one does not necessarily partake of the sins of people with whom they come in contact with. Furthermore, as cleanliness of body and sanitation will protect against the one, so cleanliness of mind and spiritual development will prevent the other. Constant vigilance is necessary. However, for most of us, we have seen a demonstration of the Bible principle that evil companions corrupt good morals. Leprosy is incurable by man. With the same emphasis, we are informed of the fact that no man on earth can forgive or take away sins. Sin, too, is very subtle in its approach. We may suffer a slight uneasiness or discomfort of conscience, but soon we can laugh that away and say, "What's the harm anyway?" But the forces of evil are continually exercising the greatest care to lead us along gradually until our conscience is seared to insensibility. But the process of degeneration goes on until the victim cannot see himself as others see him. Until one is able to realize that he is a sinner, there is little that can be done for them. Naaman was one who realized his condition. He knew full well that something had to be done. Under the sentence of death, he clamored for life, and as a drowning man grabs for a straw, he was willing to receive advice, even from a most humble source. It was this attitude that prompted him to receive the suggestion of his wife's maid, which led him to the prophet, who informed him of the necessary treatment. No haughty military attitude here. It had to be humility and sincerity of purpose. So oftentimes we fail to place the credit where it belongs. It isn't always the celebrated evangelist or religious worker who deserves the credit. But it may be some unnamed servant who points unmistakably to the way of salvation. It must seem strange to many in this world that this young lady is not even identified. Today, folks dedicate buildings, windows, books, and various institutions to the memory of those whom they wish to honor, but God alone can call the roll of those who He will honor in eternity. So many Christians make little effort to serve the Lord, if it is a little inconvenient, but this little girl, though a captive in a strange land, remembered the God of her father and recommended Him without reserve as the only source of help. Though it would seem presumptuously and perhaps prove embarrassing for her to undertake to advise the husband of her mistress, yet she bravely acknowledged her faith in God. Her attitude is likewise commendable. She was not abrupt about it. She didn't want to boast. She didn't wish to appear forward, so that she spoke almost wistfully to her mistress and said, in 2 Kings 5 and verse 3, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." How often, without pretense or show, may one by righteous living or kindly words cause others to come to a knowledge of the truth This servant of the Lord ranks well with Joseph in Egypt or Daniel in Babylon. Why would she be willing to favor the man who had so ruthlessly carried her away from her home? Herein may be seen the mark of a true servant of the Lord. Christ put it this way, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. But with all her faith and courage, it would have availed nothing without the willingness of Naaman to believe and observe her words. So he made immediate preparation to depart. And let's continue reading the rest of the text, beginning in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 4, and reading through verse 14. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Friends, as we see this Bible story of Naaman, he was healed by the power and goodness of God only when he did exactly what the prophet of God told him he needed to do. This story is here to prove a point, I believe, to every one of us, and that is that we may have forgiveness of sins and be cured of our sin disease and have a peace that passes all understanding only when we observe what God has told us to do through his word. On the day of Pentecost, when the gospel began to be preached, those that realized they had a sin problem cried, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We see the response was in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist for the West Main Church of Christ, thanking each of you for listening to this morning's broadcast. Thank you so much.